Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our fairy and candlelit carol service on Christmas Eve 2022. It's great that you could join us. You're very welcome. So let's stand and sing, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," and that will be followed straight away by our first reading from Genesis 3, and Kirsty will bring that up. Let's stand together and sing.
Bible reading is from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. This is God's word. "Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the snake, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the snake said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." And then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
Before we sing our next carol, which is O Come Emmanuel, you might wonder why we're starting reading the Bible in Genesis, something that seems to be completely unrelated to the birth of Jesus or Christmas. But it's that reading there that gives the context for why Jesus needed to be born. And the very last verse that we read is the pointer towards the fact that he would come and be born. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing next, O Come Emmanuel. Straight after that, we're going to have our second reading, which is a prophecy, a prediction about Jesus coming from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. And Lindsay will read that for us. But let's stand and sing again, O Come Emmanuel.
Thank you. Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Our next song to sing is See Amid the Winter Snow. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 5 and 6. That might mean nothing to you, but for those who are familiar with the carol, we're doing just verses 1, 2, 5 and 6. We'll stand and sing that together again, and then Dennis is going to come and read for us from another prophecy about Jesus' birth, one particularly about where he would be born, from Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Let's stand and sing, See Amid the Winter Snow, and then Dennis will come read for us.
Oh, Micah chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she, his neighbor, bears a son, and the rest of his brothers shall join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock. In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth.
I'm going to stand and sing what's probably a very familiar carol now, O Little Town of Bethlehem. That'll be followed by two readings that, again, will probably be more familiar to you. Sections of the story of the build-up to Jesus' birth. Those two readings are from Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Catherine will be reading the first one. Sam will be reading the second one. They'll come and do that after we've stood and sung O Little Town of Bethlehem. So let's stand together and sing.
Thank you. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
And then from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfil his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
We're going to stand and sing what apparently, at least until recently, is the nation's favourite carol, which is Silent Night. So we're going to stand and sing Silent Night together. That will be followed by a reading from Luke chapter 2, which Claudine will bring to us. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. But let's stand and sing together first, Silent Night.
Thank you.
from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
We're going to stand and sing while shepherds watch their flocks at night, because the next reading is from Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 20, and that is the account of where the angels come and tell the shepherds that they need to get themselves down into Bethlehem quickly to meet the baby who has been born. So let's stand and sing while shepherds watch their flocks at night, and then Callum is going to come and read Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 20.
Reading is Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told.
The next song we're going to sing is Joy to the World. That was one of the messages that the angels came to proclaim to the shepherds, that there was great joy now that Jesus had been born. We'll stand and sing that together. And then there are two readings, the last two readings. One is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And Hannah's going to read that for us. And then we'll have a reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And Matthew will read that for us. And then we'll have a little video. And I'll spend a few minutes just talking to you a little bit about what that says and what it means and why we believe that's important for you. But let's stand and sing Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
In Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
This reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Our second to last song we're going to sing right at the very end is a song called What Child Is This? The tune is probably familiar to you. It's the tune of Greensleeves. We're going to stand and sing that. There are three verses. We'll stand and sing it together, and then there'll be a short video that we'll play straight after, and then I'll come and have a little chat with you about what that video means and why, as I said, we think it's so important to think about. So we'll stand and we'll sing What Child Is This? And then there'll be a short video to sit down and listen to.
Every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. I like the darkness. At least it's cheap. I keep adjusted to the gloom, the creeping doom that soon consumes the earth in tombs. I hum its tune, assume its tone, and make my home right here, in the only world we know, this world of woe. Let others throw their festive flings. I think I'll keep my 5 gold rings. 4 calling birds. 3 French hens. 2 turtle doves. She loves the doves. Yeah, shove it on the card above. No, never fear, my dear, I'll pay it all next year. For now we'll drink to Christmas cheer and deck the halls with tinsel bling. Forget what our tomorrows bring. We'll raise a glass of festive sherry, eat and drink and be quite merry.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And what's your wish from me, my son?
A hamper full of festive fun with snowdrops, rainbows, furry mittens, unicorns and mewling kittens.
Santa's sleigh may bring them near, but were you good for me this year?
Why, yes, I think I didn't sink as low as some I know. Although, hey, no. Father Christmas, mind your own business. The kids might believe, but they are naive. I know for certain. I see through the curtain. But when you strip it all bare, what exactly is there? See, Scrooge looks darkness full in the face, embracing the chill, but he loses the will to hope. The shopper copes better, throws off fetters, wears garish sweaters, but becomes a debtor, spending now but nothing later, tending down into death's crater. Santa offers Christmas cheer, the most wonderful time of the year, but is it real? At least Scrooge knew the deal with the dark. In this stark world, can we face facts like Scrooge, then paint it rouge like the shopper, proper banter like Santa, but below the ho-ho-ho, can we know a truth beneath treacle? Good news of great joy for all people? Are we able to strip back to the stable, this fable made flesh, our maker enmeshed in the mess, to bless us, possess us, and be heaven's yes to our race, to embrace us in grace evermore in our place, pledging flesh, blood, and bone to exchange a throne for a manger, endangering all to be present to you, to be God's present to you. If you're Santa or shopper or any such thing, if you're shepherd or Mary or Joseph or king, for this the herald angels sing. In him the light shines and all is forgiven. To you this Christmas child is given.
If I asked you to list your top 5 things related to Christmas, what you would have on it. It might be that in your mind it's okay, it's presents, it's shopping, loads of food, chocolate, sweets, maybe it's family parties, maybe your family get together and throw a big party or more than one big party. Maybe it's the King's Speech, the first King's Speech for a long time this year. Maybe you like to sit down 3 o'clock in the afternoon, watch the King say what he's going to say. Maybe it's Christmas films, maybe you've been watching them since like the 1st of December, maybe you've got a set that you watch in the next few days, maybe it's Home Alone, maybe it's Elf, or Die Hard, or It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe you wait for the certain adverts to come on the telly, so maybe it's the John Lewis advert and you wonder, is it going to make me cry this year or not? For me, growing up as a kid, it was the Coca-Cola advert. And even to this day, whenever my sister first sees the Coca-Cola advert, she sends me a text message basically saying, Christmas is coming, I've seen the advert every year. This year, it wasn't the advert. She saw somebody wearing a jumper with it on and sent me a message saying, Christmas is here, I've seen the Coca-Cola advert on a jumper. Maybe for you kids, anybody under the age of 16, you're like, it's not no more school for 2 weeks. And if you're a teacher, maybe you're thinking the same. Brilliant. That's the top thing about Christmas. No school for a fortnight. I mean, generally, I imagine most of our lists when it comes to Christmas will be pretty positive. Or at least neutral. But there will be, for some of us, a much more downbeat and negative list of things that first come to mind when we think about Christmas. Maybe there is a sense of dread there, because your family reunions, you know, are just really, really awkward.
the kinds of situations where you can cut the atmosphere with a knife and you just can't wait for the date to be finished. Maybe Christmas leaves you quite miserable because, as was mentioned in the video, you end up in debt and the debt goes on all the way through till you pay it off next Christmas, only to get another debt again. It could be that this Christmas in particular, but every Christmas maybe, is a hard one emotionally because there's always a seat empty around the table that you wish was filled. Maybe there's a lot of sorrow and sadness attached to Christmas. And so actually you can't wait for January the 1st for a bit of a fresh start. For some of us, Christmas is all lights and fun. For others, it's quite dark and depressing. This evening, I'm going to hopefully help us to think a little bit about how actually often the way we approach Christmas is often the way we approach life as a whole. Now, did you catch the four kinds of Christmas that were in there? They're going to appear on the screen behind me in symbol form, and then with an explanation in a second. So first one was Scrooge character. He basically says, look, the world is dark and the world is going to stay dark and we've just got to get on with it. That's the kind of Scrooge outlook on Christmas. Their second one was the shopper, an outlook of, well, everything is light and okay now. Let's just buy, eat, drink, be merry for tomorrow we die kind of approach, because darkness is coming, but everything's okay and light now. Let's just fill it. Then there's the Santa type, a view of Christmas and the world really as a whole that says it's all right now, it'll be all right in the future, everything's fine. Basically, it's a bit of a denial of what the world is really like. Avoidance of thinking about any kind of pain or suffering that we all know is real. And then lastly, there was the stable, a perspective that does honestly say it is dark now, but there is light to come. There is hope. The darkness is taken seriously in that final viewpoint, but there is something to hold on and look forward to, a brightness that is to come that is offered at the end that is brighter than anything we can imagine. Now, I wonder which one you sit in at the minute, which camp you sit in, so to speak. Is it Scrooge? Is it Shopper? Is it Santa? Is it Stable? The verses we read earlier from Isaiah chapter 9 speak about that. They talk about darkness, people walking in darkness, who then see a great light. You see what Isaiah was saying in those verses? He's saying, look, the world is dark. We have to admit that. It is a dark place. It is a difficult place. A place that is filled with pain and suffering. We can agree with him, can't we? We flick the news on, we see war. We put the app on our phone and there's another high-profile case of abuse or neglect. We scroll down the Stockton Alerts page on Facebook and we find drugs and we find robbery. We all know there is a lot of evil in the world. We see it when we look down our street. Maybe some of it shocks us. Maybe some of it makes us feel physically sick. For others of us, maybe we've just become so numb to it because it happens all the time. But then we only need to think about a heated exchange that we have on WhatsApp with somebody who we would say we love, a family member or a friend, to realise that actually it isn't just the world out there that is broken and messed up, but we ourselves are. We have a problem in here. The problem in the world is not just with terrorists or murderers. The problem is with me and you. The problem isn't just that floods and famines happen and cause suffering and bring problems into people's lives. The problem lies in human beings as a whole. If we honestly look at ourselves, we realize there is darkness in us too. Because the world that we live in is broken from top to bottom and inside out. Now, I think we struggle to deny that unless we bury our heads in the sand like some kind of ostrich, or unless we see the world completely through rose-tinted spectacles. Realistically, that's what the Santa outlook has on Christmas. It erases the truth. Everything is good and happy, but we know that's not real. The shopper says, right, there might be darkness coming, but I'll just fill my life with as much as possible, which will kind of push everything else out. Kind of becomes a very self-centered outlook on life. Sadly, the Scrooge type at the beginning that we all chuckle with because of that funny quote is right in one sense. We cannot deny the darkness. We cannot deny the pain. We cannot deny the suffering that goes on around us. But what we want is hope for change. The Scrooge says there is no hope, but the Bible says that there is hope. The promise is that there is a great light that has dawned. I don't know whether you've ever deliberately gone up to watch the sunrise and seen the world around you change and come to life. as the sun comes up over the horizon and the darkness that surrounded you is pushed back. Here Isaiah speaks and tells us that that is going to happen, or is going to happen with the birth of a baby. That there is darkness, but a baby is going to be born who is light, who will push the darkness back, who will bring joy where there's been sadness, who will bring hope where there has been suffering. The light and joy that the Santa-type character wants to have can be real in through this baby. Verse 6 from that reading, Isaiah 9, said this: to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah said there was a baby going to be born who would change everything. And at Christmas, that's what we celebrate: the birth of Jesus Christ. Born into a little insignificant town, born in a tiny little room, sharing his space with stinky animals and being laid in their feeding trough as a bed. No great ceremony, no splendor, even though we're told he's a king. Isaiah even tells us that he is Mighty God. God made man, God come to earth. God come to rescue his people. He leaves his throne in heaven and lies in a manger. The giver of life comes to be born and to live and to die. This baby king doesn't come to rule with an iron fist. This baby king comes to serve, to love his people, to do what is best for his people. This baby king is light in the darkness. This baby king, Jesus, is hope for those who are hopeless. A king who comes to identify with and rescue his people, if only they would trust in him. See, Jesus does all of this for you and for me. So the question comes then, what do we do about that? Jesus offers you and I life now, truly knowing him. And he offers us life eternal in a perfect new world when he comes again. With Jesus, there is a hope that is real, an everlasting joy that we can hold on to, and a wonderful love that is beyond anything we can imagine. Jesus doesn't come and promise you an easy life. He doesn't come and promise to take away all your problems, but he promises that in and through them all, he'll be with you in everything, always. And so as you approach Christmas this year, let me ask you, let me try and persuade you to stop for a minute and consider Jesus. The Bible says with Jesus we can face a world that is dark and desperate, and we can live in that very same world with hope. Because Jesus, the King, is the light who has come to drive away the darkness and one day make a perfect new world where we can live with him forever.
Amen.